So we have an announcement to make, and we also want to share a testimony together. To make a long story short, Ashley and I started courting in late January, and we courted for about a month, and we entered into engagement. We both committed after about 4 weeks of courting to get engaged, and we're getting married in the summer. So, before we share, if you could pray, we want to pray with you. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father God, I really pray before we share that you would calm all of our hearts, mine own and Ashley's calm. God, you will receive glory to yourself. So at this time, God, as we share, will we share to give you glory, to testify of your wisdom, of your love, your faithfulness towards your people, and how you are wise, and how you do all things, Lord God, to draw us to yourself, to set our eyes on you. And so, Father, would we, Ashley and I, would we speak to glorify you, God, and would that be our joy, Father? So please encourage your church. God, set our eyes on you now, we pray. We pray all this in your son's name. We wanted to share a couple things. We're going to break it up into two parts. We wanted to share our testimony, breaking it up into three parts. We wanted to talk about the pre-courtship period and then the courtship period and now, before marriage. And again, our aim is to, it's kind of like a supplement to Pastor John's relationship seminar, and we just want to testify to what, how God led us, again, how he was very wise and loving towards us. And at the end, we would like to open up for any questions. So I'm going to start. We're going to start with pre-courtship. So this is going to be the very, kind of like a general summary of kind of what happened. Again, we don't have time to go into details of everything, but this kind of happened. So at the late junior year and early senior year, I was starting to get attracted to Ashley. Just praying about it, I got clear notes from God. And also, I was meeting up with my brothers. I was meeting up with Pastor John and Eugene, if you guys know him, Pastor Eugene. And he said, pretty much no. And I submitted to that. And as God was saying no, I was like, okay. I mean, whatever God says is kind of what goes. And he knows what's best for me, right? He was teaching me. And through that time, especially senior year, he continued to grow me in faith. Really, all the things that I've been learning from freshman to junior year, these things start to slowly solidify. And he knew that it wasn't right and wise, and it wouldn't be helpful for me and for my faith. And I also wasn't wise in terms of direction of life. Like, I wanted to go into ministry. At the time, she was thinking of law school. And I wanted to, like, the conviction that I had in my heart was to marry someone who I could serve with, that had the same heart of wanting to make disciples, right? So it wasn't wise, and also, it wasn't wise, it didn't make sense. I was still a senior, not ready to get married, so it was clear and all, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna wait. And also, so God really helped us to be wise. We, throughout the whole time we're waiting, so again, this is beginning of senior year, up until this past January, we didn't spend one-on-one time together, because that's just not helpful. I mean, it wasn't helpful. God said no, and to kind of like push something, it would just cause extra burden, extra temptation, you name it. And even when she, so towards the end of senior year, right, I'm still waiting, I didn't really pray about it anymore. She decided to not pursue law school, and she wanted to go to seminary. And I was like, oh. And there's still more, right? Like, even though things were kind of lining up, like, it was still a no whenever I would pray, and God kept on kind of putting that on my heart. This past year, my year as a fifth year as an oldie, especially first semester, so last year, before winter break, I read a book called Momentary Marriage. I thought it was just a good book to read as I was getting older and thinking about marriage, right? John Piper wrote it. And it talks about celibacy, right? And as I was going through the book, God really started to show me how much I idolized marriage and being in a relationship, and how I felt entitled to marriage, right? And honestly, coming before God, wanting to grow and wanting to surrender my whole life to Him, like, I didn't want God to be able to control this part of my life, whether I would get married or not. And that, I seriously started to pray. I was like, oh, dang, like, as a follower of Christ, if He calls me into celibacy, then I have to go. And not only do I have to go, it will be the best thing for me. If God gives me that gift for my faith, and ultimately that's what matters, right? Growing in faith, for me, that will be the best. And for weeks, like, I really had to wrestle, and God really tore that idol. It's still tearing out that idol in me. But that's kind of what He brought me through. And also, in hindsight, it was just so wise and loving of God to, again, tell me to wait, because, all of the things that I've been learning in my undergraduate years, the seeds that, you know, were planted in me through my brothers and Pastor John and Bible study, like, all these things started to grow, and God started to bring the increase. All these things started to make sense. Like, the kingdom of heaven is coming. Like, my treasure is in Him. All these things started to really make sense. And it was such a sweet time of growth, right, that would have been hindered otherwise. So, again, I started to pray. I heard the no. I was like, okay, surrender, right? But then, as I started to pray, I think towards the end of the first semester of my old year, the no wasn't as clear, and it kind of started to haze out. So the beginning of this year, I would pray here and there, and then, again, I'm giving a lot of details here, but towards the end of January, then I wasn't even praying about it. I was actually on my way to work. On a bus. It was random. I was reading the word, and conviction, boom, like, court her, 3 times. And, until then, again, we just avoided hanging out one-on-one. God was, again, pulling out this idol in me. He was really nurturing me, growing me in faith, growing me in love for Him. This oldie year of my fifth year here has been, I think, the sweetest times of communion with Him. And yeah, so I was waiting, and then God kind of gave me the conviction. So I asked her to think about courtship. And because, again, we hadn't spent one-on-one time together, like, I felt really like I was putting myself out there. Like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know if she was thinking about it. But I felt like that was good, and I felt, in hindsight again, it was really honoring to God, in the sense that, that we were wise, and yeah, I hope this is making sense. So she's going to share her side of the story.
Hi. I think for me, the kind of supernatural element started a little earlier. Senior year, when I was praying, Alex just kind of came to mind, and I heard court Him, right? So a full year before Alex heard it, I heard it. And at the time, it didn't help that, like, I also thought Alex was attractive. I think, but as I prayed about it, God wasn't saying anything else. It wasn't yes, it wasn't no, and I wasn't sure if it was just something I was making up. So after talking to some sisters and seeing that I wasn't ready, that I didn't know what I was doing with my life, that was around the time I decided not to go to law school. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. And also just where I was personally, I wasn't ready to be in a relationship because my relationship with God wasn't secure enough. So it didn't make sense to pursue anything. And so I just kind of held off. And I think, okay, so fast forward to oldie year, first semester. That's when I was a little more set on going to seminary. And I think like one of the things that I tend to do is to get really impatient and start planning ahead and be like, okay, Alex is going to seminary, I'm going to seminary. Like, we should just get married and get like the discount to marry couples and save money and go to ministry together, right? And so I was like praying about it, but once again, there was no yes and no, no. If anything, it was more just silence, and I think God was telling me to wait. And when I brought it up, you know, to Pastor Sheehan, she was telling me that it wouldn't make sense for me to be in a relationship right now because God was really teaching me a lot last semester. And kind of similar to Alex, I think my older year was really one where God laid down really solid foundations for my faith, and a lot of those seeds that were sown over the years began to finally take root and grow. So I really needed that time, I think, to be single and to pursue God and not worry about another person. And of course, I wasn't perfect. Like, I would just be like, ugh, like, it makes sense. But I think God was really telling me to submit and to wait. And then at the beginning of this semester, I think God kind of convicted me again supernaturally, or gave me a sign. Someone was praying for me, and I got this vision of Alex in like hiking gear. And the sense I got was that we were on a mountain, and he was offering his hand to me. And I felt like the meaning was like, let's go up the mountain together. Kind of like a biblical image of marriage, I guess. But, you know, he didn't ask me for a couple more days, but when he did ask me, I think immediately, like, instead of like trying to play games or like figure out what's the right kind of answer in the situation, I think God convicted me to just be honest. So I told him, like, yeah, I've been praying about you too. And so that's how we started courting.
Yeah, so we're just going to talk about courtship and how it kind of played out and how, what happened and stuff. Well, first of all, it was private, as Pastor John was encouraging us through the relationship, the courtship seminar. So, many of you guys, you guys didn't know, obviously. And we, I guess, desired to honor God, and it was the fifth time we were listening to the courtship seminar, and I think it really started to make sense. Like, when you're courting, you're not a couple, and it made sense to us to honor God and not display ourselves as a couple. So we thought we would honor God and desire to keep it discreet. This didn't mean that no one in this room knew. Our closest brothers, obviously the pastors knew, and our closest sisters, right? They were keeping us accountable, right? Encouraging us to be sober-minded. So we were recording with accountability, just not publicly. It was also very businessy. It was very intentional, and there was very, 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 very little and very no emotional attachment. It was so weird for me because a whole nother testimony to talk about like my past, but it was just so different. There was no emotional attachment. So every week we would say like, hey, these are the questions we're going to cover. These are the topics we're going to cover. Direction of life. Expectation of well-being. Children. How many children do you want? How do you deal with anger or stuff like that? So we would kind of prepare those questions, and then for a week we would prepare. And then when we come, boom, 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 boom. And what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this? And if other questions came up, we would ask. So, again, we came prepared. It was like a class. We started from very impersonal things. And then we Yeah, so we would leave no time really for just like silence, because you know that's, you know, I mean, yeah, sure you guys know, like silence would give way to other temptations, so there was no room for silence. When we were done, we just bounced. It was so different, again, compared to my past stuff. And again, in hindsight, really thankful, and God really gave us grace to do that. So yeah, we giving texts and emails to very businessy is kind of funny, but really good. So yeah, we didn't do anything. Yeah, it was very businessy. We do want to say that it was a little atypical. Like, we only courted for a month. You know, Pastor John, it was like the 3 to 8 months. And we do want to say that it was very supernaturally led from, you know, whether it be visions or like me hearing not the audible voice of God, but just very clearly a conviction. And also, you know, it's not, we weren't like strangers. I mean, we were classmates for 4.5 years-ish. So, did I cover everything? Yeah. And then during that courtship, like, we were convicted of a lot of things, but these two things we wanted to kind of talk about.
Okay, so I guess Alex mentioned that we went from impersonal to personal things, and by personal we mean like we shared our full-out testimonies and our past relationships, right? And I think the week after that was the most difficult week for me, but also one of the best weeks, because I guess I had kind of put a lot of hope and joy in quick and immediate grace and forgiveness from the person who would be my future spouse. And when Alex wanted to take more time to pray about it seriously, which I'm very thankful for now, I think my response to that really showed how much of an idol that had been to me. And I think what God did throughout that week was to take any hope or joy or worth or security I'd put in a spouse and really reclaimed it for himself. And I think really by his grace, when we met up the next week to discuss like how the past week had gone for us, like he really did give me this sense of peace where even if it was a no, you know, I think both of us would have been okay because we had God and our worth was in God. But I think there were times when I was just like, I wish we were just dating. Like, I wish that we could just talk about nice things and hang out. But I think really by the end of it, I was so thankful that God had laid down this really solid foundation for our relationship and that we hadn't been playing games with each other or trying to impress one another.
And the second thing, so I also went through that too, just finding my joy and security and acceptance and love in God and God alone, and not fearing her. The second thing I learned was, like courtship, because it's intentional and you're thinking about marrying the other person, God really showed me and showed her, I think, you're marrying a sinner. And it was really just sobering, I think, for me. You're marrying a sinner. And I think courtship was really good in that sense. Again, like Ashley said, because we were very intentional about sharing our testimonies and kind of being open and taking time to pray through that, oh, will we be willing to forgive her? Oh, yeah. It kind of really laid a solid foundation for where we are now. Also, God really taught me a lot of things. Like, marriage is for our growth in faith. And again, I'm only 22. But you know, one of the things that he was teaching me about it, and I hope to learn in the future, is that loving a sinner is hard, and we can only do that, you know, it doesn't even have to be your spouse. To love a sinner, to love your classmates, like, we need to know who God is. We need to know the love of God. We need to be so rooted in Him. We need to find our everything in Him so that we can give ourselves to others, to other sinners. So yeah, we courted for about 4 weeks. After we met up the third time, we said that we would pray for a week and then decide to commit or not to commit to marriage. And for me, so during pre-courtship, I mean, I was struggling, but I felt like I was waiting on God, right? And then he said quarter, right? And then the sinful part of me during courtship, I think, started to take the reins, started to like take control of it again. Like, all right, so I got to go from God. Okay, there's no red flags. Like, we both expect to deny ourselves for the rest of our lives. We both want to do ministry, blah, blah. All these things are matching up. So why do I need a week to pray? And after like the second day, I was like, okay, I just want to say, let's get married. But God really convicted me. I forget, it was like a Sunday service, and he really convicted me. You're not waiting on me. You're starting to lose it again. Wait on me. Even though things made sense, I was like, wait on me. So I did wait on him. And then, again, supernaturally, again, I think this is maybe atypical, but supernaturally, like one night I just woke up, and after repenting and learning to trust in him again, he said it again, same pattern, like, marry her, marry her, marry her. And at that time, I was really thankful for that assurance that God was blessing us and leading us, so that was kind of my side.
Yeah, my week was interesting because I was just feeling really peaceful and happy all week. I like, 2 days before we were supposed to meet, I was like, wait, God, this is really like a big deal. And like, you got to give me like clear affirmation, especially if things are going to happen so quickly. And that vision of Alex in hiking gear, God kind of reminded me of that again as I was praying. And I felt like he was really telling me, like, take it and I will bless it. Like, take his hand and I'll bless your marriage. And he kept repeating it to me. So, yeah, it was pretty clear for me too.
So that was about a week before, a week and a half before the Philly trip. And so we're going to talk about the engagement period so far. The one thing that really sticks out is engagement. Just because you're engaged doesn't mean you can now let loose because you're both committed to getting married. Perhaps you need more self-control now. And we're really finding that. Pastor John was saying, the only difference between you guys courting and then being engaged is when you're courting, you have no commitment. When you're engaged, you are committed to marrying one another. And naturally, you know, affections in common, again, as Pastor John was saying, as is natural, emotional intimacy is linked so directly with physical intimacy. So God's really helping us to be wise, and we've set, you know, boundaries with settings, where we hang out, not being alone in private places, so setting boundaries physically and emotionally. Engagement, really seeing it as just preparation for marriage. We're not married yet, committed to getting married. So logistically, you know, just wedding planning. Just stressing, God telling you, you still need to be wise. You need to be wise. Honor me during this time as well, right? I think that's what God's been pressing on our hearts. So we wanted to, you know, we chose today to tell everyone. We didn't tell everyone immediately because, I mean, one thing for me was the Philly trip. I thought it would be not helpful and wise for the team to tell the Friday before and then go into that. It just wouldn't be good for me. I wouldn't be able to focus, and perhaps not on the team members as well. So we decided to wait. And also, we wanted to get our parental approval. So we're waiting on them. It's a whole other testimony. We want to honor God and love the church. Things that God's been convicting of us of this time, is there sin? I think about my past relationships, and God's really been convicting me. You're committed to getting married, but don't use her. Don't use the other person to meet your needs. And God's really been convicting me of that. I've really been wrestling and fighting against that.
I guess for me, I've really been seeing, like, just because you're married or preparing to get married doesn't mean your sins disappear. So things like wanting to please people, and especially like Alex, that doesn't go away. And if anything, we have to fight even harder. And Alex mentioned like marriage not meeting all of our needs, and I think especially when he was in Philly and I was doing a lot of wedding planning, at one point I just started to feel very bitter and resentful. But I think God really convicted me like that he's not going to meet all of my needs, especially as he's serving the church, but that God is going to meet all of my needs, and I'm fully provided for in him. So, yeah.
And perhaps the last thing that God has been convicting us of is marriage is momentary, and it's such a battle every day. I think there is such a temptation to really idolize it, but marriage is momentary. You could be married a day or 20 years, 7 years, even if it's like 70 years, like it's 70 years, and in the span of eternity, that's nothing. God is eternal, worship is forever. In fact, marriage is a context in which and through which we worship God. He's really been convicting me us of that, and as he convicts us of that continually, I'm praying that God really sanctify us and really help us to honor and worship him. So, you know, please do pray for us. I think that's all that we had to share. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if you guys do have questions, we'd love to, you know, answer them to the best of our ability. And also, if you guys don't feel comfortable asking it out loud, you know, we're open to, you know, meeting up with you guys. Very good question. So, this is, the question was, did I get her an engagement ring? So, I don't know how to say this. So, I guess the way most of the kind of, you know, in our culture, we kind of see engagement, like, if two people are engaged, the proposal will probably happen. I haven't proposed to her yet. Does that answer your question? Yeah, I didn't propose to her yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're really calling engagement period this time at the end of courtship where we committed to getting married. So now we're engaged. And we're treating the proposal as a formality. So not the beginning of engagement, but something between engagement and marriage. Soon, though. Chris?
How do you choose 4 weeks? How do we choose four?
The question was, how do we choose 4 weeks to court?
We ran out of things to talk about. Like, the third week.
So, man, I guess, like, because we knew each other, right? I mean, even though we didn't spend one-on-one time together, we knew each other. Again, we met for like 2 hours each week, so it was like a pretty big chunk of time. And if you're really being intentional about it, you like cover. So like, again, we didn't want to waste time. We just felt like, okay, we know enough. Like, let's pray and decide. So.
So I did tell my parents relatively early on that I was courting Alex, and then because I have an older sister who went through KCCE, they're kind of familiar with what courtship is. And then when I told her that we were praying about engagement, she was actually really supportive about it. I think God really blessed me with a lot of parental support.
Yeah. different story, but I told my parents that I was going to court her, and then I don't know how much detail I should share, but to put it simply, they weren't like so for it, I mean, ever since I wanted to go into ministry, they weren't really for that because they knew that it would be a hard life, right? And that I was throwing away opportunity for an easy life. And this was kind of similar, especially when we were talking about, you know, as we had committed, like I brought it up to my, no, it actually was before we committed, but I asked my parents, like, well, what would you think if, you know, we got married? And they were kind of opposed to it first. Yeah, they were opposed to it first because they thought I was too young. It's kind of straying off your question a little bit, but they thought I was too young. I didn't explain to them courtship. I think it'd be too hard for them. I didn't explain to them courtship. They just thought like she was my girlfriend or something. She wasn't, but that's kind of what they saw it as. So I guess they don't really know that we were like really being intentional about deciding whether or not we wanted to marry. Yeah.
Are you guys financially
like independent? No, we're gonna be students, right? And obviously, I mean, I'm working at Tops. So we're gonna say right. Our parents do support us. I mean, they're supporting us a lot for the wedding. But yeah, while we're in school, you know, we're working. Yeah.
Right, so once again, we're kind of an atypical example where it was kind of supernatural and faster than most courtships, and we aren't really financially independent.
Yeah, I think Eugene was telling me like, it's not a sin to feel something for someone, but like what you do with it, like you can do, you know, generally speaking, two things. And like, he really encouraged me to be wise about it. I mean, to be honest, like we weren't perfect, but generally speaking, yeah, we did intentionally not try to hang out one-on-one. But like for example, like she'd be working at Annabelle, and like my class would end, so I could easily go in and like chill with her for like 2 hours. But you know, God really convicted me like that's not wise. Why would you push the boundary? Why are you pushing the boundaries, Alex, to kind of delve into something that would not be good for you in your faith? So So I kind of we had to wrestle through that, and it's tough. It's tough because our flesh is like feeling all these things, but. I think by the grace of God, he does give you and us and his people self-control. Yeah.
Yeah, I really think both of us were surprised to find out that the other person had any feelings because we really did keep our distance separately.
If you guys ran out of stuff to talk about in 1 month, like, what should other people do for 8 months?
Pray.
Again, like, for me, I'm more of like a, actually, I'm not always a feeler, but like God always brings me, so time to man regardless, like he always brings me to a place where he brings me to a place, even though I don't want to be there, to a place where I'm really surrendering to him, like and like I'm really able to say like, God, like your will be done. If you want us to, if there are things that you want us to talk about, if there are things that we need to address, please bring it up. like a place where we are fully like kind of on our knees, like God, like you lead. Not just to say it because that's the right thing to say, but I think genuinely God wants us to, whether you've known the person for 4 years or you just met the person like a couple months ago, like I really do feel like God wants us to be in a place where we are so, just so dependent on Him and really, yeah, I don't know. But that is a question that I thought about as we were preparing this, like, will everyone run out of things in 1 month? But I don't know, maybe Pastor John, you want to?
One thing, you guys knew each other, right? For like 4 years, so they've already seen each other, because one of the, I think, important things is that, can you guys all hear me? You want people to see me in person, like in a group setting,
that's true,
right?
That's true.
And they've had 4.5 years of that. And I do think, like they said, sort of the supernatural aspect of it does make a big difference, because you guys kind of got consistently sort of clear convictions. Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, this is going to, like, I mean, throughout the 4 years, like, even though I wasn't spending one-on-one time with them, but from afar in group settings, you know, I can kind of generally, get the feel of, you know, how they treat other people, like, what are their relationship with their parents like? Like, and I can see that she was developed, like, God was giving her a heart of, like, you know, to love younger sisters and to teach the word of God and general, like, love of God and, you know, general, these general things that I guess we were gleaning throughout that time.
Not to put you on the spot, but I mean, if you don't mind sharing about how your parents sort of came around, because I feel like that was like one of the, right, the big confirmations for
you guys. All right, so you know, don't go telling my parents like, no, Alex said this.
I got it.
So the fourth week, like literally 2 days before we met up, I told my parents, because Ashley had told me that she told her parents, so I was like, oh, yeah, I think I should tell my parents. And I told my parents, and pretty much they kind of lovingly, I think, or in the way they thought best, you know, to them it was loving to really kind of tell me to wake up. And wake up, they were saying like, okay, you're 22, like, financially not stable. Okay, 22 for a girl is okay, but like, you're 22, the Korean culture, that's like weird, and not weird, that's just crazy. Like, I'm speaking at like my dad, if I were to tell my friends that my son is getting married, like, they'd think I'm crazy, why are you letting your son do that? And there are other things, so that was the main thing, I think, just kind of letting me go. They really had a hard time. The biggest thing, not only did I want to go to seminary, I didn't want to marry someone who would make money, a lot of money, right? My mom and my dad would be like, okay, go to seminary, but marry someone, you know, who would make a lot of money, who could support you, but I didn't want to do that. And then I told them, Ashley wants to go into ministry, it's like, whoa, that's like double death. So they were really like, you know, kind of just, again, out of love, you know, as a parent, because they don't want to see me suffer. They were, you know, lecture me for a long time. They actually said flat out no. So then I was praying to God, like, you know, God, like, why convict me to court her, and then why give her all these visions, right? The whole mountain, like, doesn't make sense. Like, if it's just gonna stop here, like, what? Like, what am I supposed to do? And throughout that time, that was really good. You know, God was really, again, like, putting me in a place where I'm on my knees and able to say, like, God, like, okay, you know everything, right? And you know, you knew that this was going to happen with my parents before you convicted me to court her. Like, I will trust you. And if it's a no, then it's okay, because I still know you. And you are my rock, right? So, yeah, and then, you know, I actually went to sleep. And then I had a dream, and then I woke up. And then Monday, after waking up from that dream, in the middle of the night, God convicted me, marry her, right? So I was like, what? Like, how? My parents? And then right after I started thinking about my parents, he also convicted me of two other things. One, he said, don't worry about your dad's heart. And then, I didn't say this, my parents were like, how are you going to fund the wedding, dude? You're poor. And he convicted me, don't worry about money. So those two things. And I was tired, so I went back to bed. But then that morning, I woke up and I started praying. I'm like, God, like, I think that was from you. And usually, yeah, when God convicts me like that, like, there's no doubt that it's from him. So I was like, okay, marry her. Okay, I'll marry her. You said, don't worry about your parents. Does that mean you want me to go against their blessings and not receive their blessings? Or does that mean will you change their heart? Right? And don't worry about money. Okay. Actually, I wasn't worrying about the money thing. I was just worrying about my parents because, yeah. So I was praying like, okay, God, like, all right, I'm going to go follow. And even if my parents don't give me their blessings, okay. And then that morning, my mom calls or my dad calls. And I won't go into the details here. I don't think it's kind of weird. But he was kind of turning already, and it was kind of crazy. He wasn't fully turned, but he was like, he said all this stuff, and at the end of it, I was like, Dad, I don't think that's going to happen. He was giving me like sub options, right? They were kind of weird, and I was like, Dad, that's not going to work. And at the end, he was like, okay, like, I want to see her. I was like, whoa, you want to see her? Like, you just said no, like, why do you want to see her? Right, and then he just hung up, so I was like, okay. So, I was still uneasy, like, again, God said, don't worry about his heart. And I was like, oh, yeah, Dad. It was like a cliffhanger, like, Dad, are you going to, like, give me your blessing, or are you just playing games? And, so, for like a whole week, I didn't know what the heck my dad was thinking. We planned to meet them, so we drove down. Joshua 1:9 kept on crossing my heart, like, when, you know, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he kept on kind of pressing that on my heart. So I was like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Meeting my parents was really crazy. It was kind of stressful. Like, she felt like the dude, and I felt like the girl. but little did I know, like, throughout that week, my God was doing a lot of things with my dad. Like, my dad was talking to this older friend, and he was seeking him for counsel in Georgia. I don't even know if he's a Christian. But he was saying, like, yeah, you should let your son marry him. And he talked to his older brother and my uncle. And my uncle was like, yeah, you should let him, you know, do his thing. And it was crazy. I think he was just thinking a lot. And although, you know, he wouldn't attribute it maybe to God kind of changing him, like, I see it as that because God proclaimed it from the beginning. And he was saying, don't worry about your dad's heart. And he kind of turned around. It was crazy. So even before we went down, like, my mom was like, as long as her parents are okay with it, then, you know, we're cool with it. And it was a crazy testimony. Again, just God giving me assurance. I was kind of walking and continuing to depend on it. And God never lies. So, well, God's word can be trusted, rather. So, as short testimony again, just a clear sign from God. Very similar to how he called me into ministry and changing my parents' hearts then. But yeah, that's kind of that. Any questions? I know Amazing Grace is coming up. They have cupcakes for us. Any other questions?
So before we eat the cupcakes, I don't know about we, but
just I want to say a few things. Well, this couple of questions that came out, I just want to clarify. Even though they'll be in seminary and they'll be incurring debt, student loans, you'll be their debt, right? They have to pay back. So in that sense, they're financially independent. So when I say you have to be financially independent to get married, I don't mean like you have to have all this money in order to get married. That's not what it is. It's just that they're not dependent on their parents for continual support. Their parents can give, you know, gift money here and there, but the they're taking responsibility for their own financial situation. So in that sense, they will be financially independent. So next time someone asks you, say yes, first. second thing is that you know, the question that Kevin asked about, like...
What do you talk about after?
Yeah, 3 weeks, right? So, I mean... Yes. When I say the courtship needs to be 3 to 8 months, 9 months, whatever, right? I don't mean that you gotta talk the whole 3 months or 8 months. Actually, thinking about it, just the talking part could be just about that, like 3 months or even short, not a month, 3 weeks or somewhere like that. But what it is that if you don't know that person, it's very different for them because they had known each other as classmates for four years and then oldies, so 4.5 years, so that all that was already done, right? So what that 3 to 8 months was included is that you basically, you know, like how you meet someone, you have certain first impression, and then after about 2, 3, 4, 5 months, you realize that your first impression was wrong. You see, that's what I mean. You want to have that kind of time, if you don't know that person that well, that you're not just reacting or you have a wrong first impression, right? So the 8 months or 6 months, that time is not all filled with questions and talking, but it is you're taking the time of, you know, seriously praying, observing, getting to know that person, so that you won't just have this superficial first impression, right? So that can be, you know, it depends on how well you know that person, and then also that time includes prayer time, like how they would take time off and just pray and seek God's guidance and something, right? Couple more things. Their sort of what happened with them is very unique because it is so supernatural. You know, not everyone should wait until God to say court her or marry, you know. But because God does guide us through natural means as well. But the reason why we wanted you guys to hear this testimony is that there are other things that, you know, aside the supernatural thing, that they were really committed to the Lord. They were trusting God that God would provide for them, whether it be supernatural or natural. And they were willing to submit to God and follow God and really honor God through that process. So that I thought that it's a very encouraging and helpful example. Not that they were perfect, but that they really tried to honor God and follow God. And I thought, with Shannon, I thought that it's... And they did as well. It's a very... So last thing I want to say is that it is a very encouraging an example, not that everyone has to do it just like how they did it, but it's an example of how God provides for His people. And so before we... I just want to... for us to quickly pray for them, that, you know, this is just the beginning, that God would just bless their life together and even help them through the rest of the engagement process and wedding and all that. So let's just quickly pray for them. Father, I do really thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness, Lord, as demonstrated in the life and how you have worked in Alex's life and Ashley's life. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would continue as you've been so faithful in leading and guiding them, Father, that you would continue to lead and guide them. Lord, continue to draw them to your heart. Father, may they never lose their first love to you. Lord, may they never lose their childlike devotion to you. Lord, that their marriage would only enhance their pursuit of you. Lord, bless them, Lord, honor and glorify them, so that not only they are blessed, Father, but your people, your church, your community will be blessed through them as well. We thank you so much for what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.